Welcome to For the Health of It, starring Dr. Jennifer Kretzinger, wellness chiropractor. She once told me that she loves music, all kinds, but playing on her iPod right now is Nickelback and Van Morrison. Jessica Labby is our co-host, and she calls her drive to work a classical commute. She says that listening to Tchaikovsky while driving is like experiencing a synchronized and purposeful ballet. This professional podcast is produced by Mike Clark, who says he prefers to listen to live music, even in his own home. Not hard to do with all those instruments lying around. These three melodic people will inspire you to eat, move, sleep, think, and live better. You're listening to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it.
So, Jessica, that sounds like your commute is pretty much the opposite of road rage.
That's the point, yes.
I love road rage. That's why I drive. Yeah.
You walk to work.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's why you don't have a car, then I take it.
It is, I guess.
Your wife won't let you.
Man. Okay, we're talking about understanding natural rhythms. And on the music... nice.
Step away from the tambourine.
We are in a music recording studio, so you may hear some random instruments
and we're talking
this
about
podcast.
Rhythms.
That's right. I have a question for you guys. Now, if your life had rhythm, well, really all of our lives have rhythm, what type of music or what type of artist do each of you feel exemplifies the rhythm that is your life? For example, I like to strive to have my life be like a good Jack Johnson song. Oftentimes, my life is like a Nickelback song.
Wow. How about you, Jessica?
Tchaikovsky.
Really?
Nice. That's on a good day, I take it.
Yes.
What about a bad day?
Maybe some David Gray on a rainy day.
Okay.
Nice. See, I like anything rhythmic. I don't care what style of music it is. I'd probably go with like what you said, Jack Johnson or Jason Mraz.
Or some tribal or music.
Tribal. Yeah, anything with a beat, you know?
Mm-hmm. Do you have, what do you call your thing over there?
It's a cajon.
Cajon. So we might hear it's a type of drum,
yeah.
I take it. So he'll just break out
it's
the cajon.
It's a South American drum.
I love it. Well, you know, life doesn't have to be a full-blown symphony, but there is value in establishing some type of rhythm in life. You know, and honestly, we talk about rhythm, you know, come on, what's that? You know, most people's lives are more randomness, improvisation. You know, both parents are working. By the end of the day, it's just whatever is left over of your time and your energy is what you have when the work of the day is done. And the way that looks isn't always so pretty.
This time left over.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, when you think about, you know, this perfect rhythm in life and always having the dinner on the table at a certain time and going to bed at the same time every night and trying to live by the earth's rhythms, it almost just sounds quaint. You know, back when we were literally ruled by sunlight before electricity and when crops and harvests establish the rhythms of our life, we have to really be realistic. You know, sometimes it's just asking a lot in today's world to fit it all in and have a sense of rhythm and regularity. But what I want to do is help you see that to some extent, it can be done. And again, it may not be a full-blown symphony, but by establishing more rhythm in our lives, we can be healthier and happier. A lot of the work that I've been reading lately comes from this really neat book called Simplicity Parenting. It's by Kim John Payne, and it talks about the value of having rhythm in our lives. And it actually made me want to research more on rhythm, and I've been studying something called chronobiology. Have you guys ever heard of that?
No.
No.
It's actually the study of biological rhythms, and it's really interesting because research has shown that plants and animals, including humans, are governed by biological rhythms.
Well, of course, the earth has a rhythm, you know, the ebb and flow of the tides. And
when you look at migration, instincts, menstruation cycles is an obvious one, tidal rhythms in marine animals. The most common biological rhythm that people have heard about is the circadian rhythm. We've even talked about that in our sleep workshop. And it basically means that your body has a rhythm that's about a 24-hour cycle. And this biological clock controls your heart rate, your blood pressure, respiration rate, body temperature, urine excretion, hormone secretion. it's really like we have a clock inside of us. We have a master clock. And it's technically, just because you might want to know this, it's a group of nerve cells that's in the hypothalamus part of the brain. And it's called the suprachiasmatic nucleus.
Really?
Or the SCN. Yeah. And it's, you know where it is? It's part of the brain where the two optic nerves from the eyes cross. So right up here in the forehead. And that's what where the information from the eyes goes to the brain. So when we have sunlight come in, that's where it's fed. So when there's less light, like at night, the SCN of the, tells the brain to make more melatonin so you get drowsy.
So you're saying if a person that worked third shift, that didn't get enough sleep, if they just changed their whole life around, that they could get off their blood pressure medicine and wouldn't have a heart attack?
Wow, now that's putting some points together.
Because it sounds like you could solve all of your health problems just by keeping your body in a rhythm.
Well, I think there is some truth to that. I mean, there's obviously environmental factors as well. But here's an example. I remember when we were in Mexico a couple years ago, and my family stayed in some cabins that had limited electricity. And what happened was, throughout the week, naturally, the sun would go down and you had no artificial light. So we would just go to bed. Mm. So, you know, 8:30, 9 o'clock every night, there wasn't much else to do. You know, you could turn a flashlight on, but that gets old. So right. We would go to bed. And then because we went to bed at that time, we would rise with the sun. And after doing that for a week, I felt so good.
It's better for you.
It made me realize that we're supposed to be governing our sleep by the sun. And, you know, that's just not what's going to happen in today's world, not with artificial light. But when we can get closer back to the rhythms that are natural for us, we can be healthier. And there's more than sleep, and we'll talk about that. But we do respond rhythmically to the regular cycles of the sun, the moon, and the seasons. It's just part of life. And then it's set off to some extent by the environment, which, for example, food consumption will set that off as well. Well, the first thing is we got to start small. I mean, like you said, Jessica, you're not going to just, you know, change your job because it's not best for sleep. And
right.
You know, some people, that may be the necessary step, especially with sleep. The major rhythm comes around meals and bedtime. And it's, I also want to bring up the point that there's meaning that hides in the repetition of doing something. It's not just doing something for health. There's meaning and there's value. And even there's value to family life and relationships with finding rhythm in your life.
Like so, sitting down to eat dinner as a family every night.
You know, and I think people do start to pay attention to this when they have children, because it becomes very apparent that children do better with rhythm. Rhythm tends to calm children. It makes them feel secure. It grounds
you,
them.
You're more on a schedule, too, I think, when you have kids. You know, you have to get them off to school at a certain time, you know.
Well, and then there's potty training, and they need to be fed at a certain time. And even having pets will help you get into rhythm. You know, my dog, if it's 3:30, she will let me know it's time to eat. She can't read the clock, but she knows. With children, too, I think parents find that when they develop more rhythm in their life, they don't have to explain things as much through words. Children learn to depend on, well, this is what I do at this time. I was even thinking about our children in the school they go to. They go to a Waldorf school, and very infrequently will the teacher actually tell them what to do. Oh, it's time to eat now, or it's time to pick up your toys. The teacher will literally just start singing a song lightly. And it's the same song every time for pickup. It's the same song, you know, picking up the toys, same song every time for meals. And the children will just start singing and will start mimicking her actions and know what to do.
That's a great example of that. Yeah,
it creates rhythm and there's consistency. It also, I believe, creates less effort in your life and easier transitions. You know, there's the phrase, discipline is freedom. And if you just always do something a certain way, it becomes easy. You know, even for adults, if you always get up at 5:30 and you journal or you pray or you meditate, if that's just what you do, it starts to become effortless. Mm-hmm. I think life in general can feel harder if you don't have rhythm in it.
Well, everything's more chaotic, no doubt.
Yes. And especially with children, what happens is there's a lot of improvisation. It feels more like an emergency all the time.
Right,
Every day is different. You have that crazy busy feeling, and that creates more stress.
Yeah, and you wind up getting less done, I think, when that happens.
I totally agree with that. And the book that I mentioned, she talks about if you're constantly on the run, you're always reacting to changing circumstances. So you or your child will default mentally to a form of what she calls amygdala hijack. And that basically means that you're going to operate from a part of your brain that's quick to react versus, you know, being able to consider things thoroughly and flexibly. And you can see that in people who always seem rushed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's so my problem. I never have a consistent schedule. You know, like my work day is completely different every day. So I have a hard time settling into a rhythm of my day, you know.
Well, and there's
here,
more
there and everywhere.
There's more things that you can do outside of that. And I think more and more people are like you, Mike, and that's where it becomes even more critical to have maybe a morning ritual or to have some type of consistency in other ways.
Yeah.
You know, because life, whether we want it to be or not, is influenced by rhythm. Think about how we do have rhythm in our life. Maybe when you go to work, when you go to sleep, the school calendar, holidays. And we talked about the circadian rhythm. Even just having the calendar that we live by and a clock that we live by, we can't avoid rhythm. It's part of our lives.
Yep, it's true. Mm-hmm.
What we're going to do now is we're going to go to break. But when we come back, I'm going to talk about one theory that talks about the organ in the body that drives rhythm and how by properly using this part of your body, you can decrease stress.
I know what organ that is.
What?
I'll tell you when we get back.
You're listening to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it. Your host is Dr. Jennifer Kretzinger, wellness chiropractor at Spinal Corrective Center in Amherst, New Hampshire. For more information about Dr. Jennifer or this podcast, check out spinalcorrectivecenter.com. If you would like to schedule a health checkup with Dr. Jennifer, call 603-673-5600 and mention this podcast to receive a special offer. That's 603-673-5600. To find a wellness chiropractor in your area, go to chiropractic.org/doctorfinder. Now, back to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it.
Okay, Mike, what organ do you think controls your rhythm?
Well, it's got to be your heart, right?
Nope.
That's what I thought, too, the heart.
Nope.
60 beats per minute.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you have conscious control over your heartbeat?
No.
So how could it be your heartbeat? You can't decide to decrease your heart rate as easily as the one I'm going to discuss.
Okay, lay it on us.
What drives your rhythm, in one theory, is your lungs, your breathing rate. Because you can decide to breathe slowly. Everyone take a deep breath. You just slow down your heart rate. You just help relax your nervous system and your metabolic rate stabilized. Now that's the opposite of breathing fast. And if you think about this, when you're stressed, when you're running around, when you're busy, your breathing picks up.
Right.
And everything else picks up. So one way that we can get our body in rhythm is to practice slow breathing. You know, because stress in general, we just breathe faster.
And shallow.
Yeah. And the rhythms of our body just get messed up because they're trying to pick up the speed. So to slow down, we can relax and we can heal. Here's something else that's interesting. Stress pushes all of the energy up to our head and our heart area. So our upper body is literally buzzing. It's vibrating fast. And if you think about that, when you are worked up, don't you feel like your body's buzzing? You can't get your head to quiet down. You try to lay down to go to sleep. Your head won't stop working. By deep breathing, we can pull the energy down more to our vital organs, to our lung, to our diaphragm, to our solar plexus, and we can get our bodies to start to slow down. Because what happens is when we're up high in our head and we're buzzing, we're disconnected from our bodies. And you see this all the time. This makes you unable to follow your instinct in the moment. You're increasingly unable to get sleep, to go to rest or come back from rest. Your sleep in general just gets off and it's hard for your body to heal. I see this all the time. So one way to learn to manage stress is to learn to breathe calmly no matter what. And it really helps us acknowledge our whole selves, not just our brain.
One thing that helps me is if I need to stop and start breathing again, sometimes I forget to breathe. If I'm in the middle of doing a lot of things, if I'm inhaling whatever it is I need, energy, health, exhaling toxins and maybe bad thoughts, and it really centers you.
Yeah, I think most people aren't that conscious about the way they breathe, really. I mean, because it just happens naturally, you know?
Well, that's true. And I think being more conscious will help, especially when you can tell your body's not in sync.
right.
when you're feeling disconnected. Mm-hmm. So do you guys ever notice that there are certain times of the day consistently that you feel more energetic?
When it's time for bed.
That can happen. That can definitely happen. I noticed that around between noon and three, my energy is really high. Like I like working out at that time. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to talk about ways to get in sync with your body clock or your body rhythm. One is interesting. You know, we hear about the value of eating consistent meals all day long. There's been research to show that if you have most of your energy from food earlier in the day, so say a protein-rich breakfast and lunch, you actually keep your blood sugar stable throughout the whole day. So keeping the end of the day meals light is one way to really help your body rhythm. Now, this one won't be a surprise because we talked about it at the sleep workshop, but waking up at the same time every day, that actually gives you more energy all week. We talked about how this internal clock controls melatonin production, and that's what triggers sleep. Mm-hmm. It stays in rhythm when you're waking up early and getting to bed at a decent time.
Do you wake up the same time every day?
I'm very consistently wake up at 5:30. I do.
Yeah, I do because my wife wakes me up.
Well, and what happens is we're usually just so, people are so tired all the time.
Yeah.
You know, because
yeah, we're pretty beat up.
There's not that consistency. And if we did like I did when in Mexico, we just went to sleep with the sun, how easy would that be? But again, it's not realistic. What happens is we're in permanent summer mode, you know, as if the light's on until 9:30
right.
every night. And we don't even start to slow down or sometimes even eat dinner until 9 or 9:30.
Imagine if we lived in Alaska, we'd be really screwed up.
That's for sure.
Well, unless that's your consistent rhythm, yeah. I'm sure the body would adapt. But really, in our society, we're addicted to being awake for long periods of time.
I think we're overstimulated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the price for that is fatigue and really a down mood.
Yeah.
And we see that, especially in New England, with seasonal affective disorder, which is really desynchronization of body rhythm. It's an abnormal circadian rhythm. And that same disorder is also associated with bipolar. I see more and more people with bipolar disorder this day. So working at first on your sleep cycles is one way to do that. And usually it means getting up early enough and going to bed before midnight, the cycles before midnight, ideally by 10 or 10:30. And there's way more about that in our sleep strategies podcast. Well, so you've woken up, and the next good step is getting some morning sunlight. We've talked about this too when discussing vitamin D. Well, there's even more benefit for rhythm because when you get morning sun, you actually get more done throughout the day.
No doubt about that.
Yeah. Very energizing.
Yes.
And ideally 30 minutes first thing in the morning. So that could be even just having your breakfast next to a bright window. I thought about that this morning. I sat down with breakfast and I looked around the house and the brightest sunlight was coming from one certain seat of the table. And I sat right there just to get the morning sun.
Well, you have lots of windows in your house. So
I do.
That's not a problem.
I have
for
an
you.
Advantage. For some people, they may have to go on the porch and get some sunlight.
Yep.
Or going for a walk in the morning, a way to just to be outside. Morning light exposure actually helps reset your internal clock, and it also helps reset body temperature, energy level, and how alert you're going to be throughout the day. Makes a big difference. And you know what happens? People get busy, and when they get busy, something has to give. And when it has to give, it's usually sleep.
Yeah.
Which makes them, you know, miss that morning time where they can be slow and hang out. You know, people right. wake up late and have to rush. And, you know, I was thinking about this. When something has to give, unfortunately for people, it's sleep. And too bad it's just not food. Because most of us have way more food than we need. But, you know, we don't give that up. Isn't that interesting? I mean, maybe some people.
We don't want to.
Yeah, we don't give that up, which maybe that would be the thing. And, you know, going back to the sleep, it's really the ultimate rhythm. There was this study that was done by Dr. Avi Dedeh of Tel Aviv University. And he talked about the performance gap that's caused by just 1 hour's less sleep. It was equivalent to the normal gap between a sixth grader and a fourth grader. So basically, if you have a sixth grader who's sleepy because they lost sleep, they may be learning or behaving at a fourth grade level the next day.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. And a number of studies have concluded that a short period of sleep during the day or a power nap, you like this, Jessica, does not have any effect on normal circadian rhythm, but it can decrease stress and improve productivity.
Who doesn't like a good nap?
Do you guys know the ideal time of a power nap, how long it should be?
20 minutes.
That's right.
I was going to say an hour and a half.
I'll wake up super sleepy.
You'll be groggy.
Yeah.
So there are better times to do things during the day based on our body's rhythm. So here's some examples. You should plan your toughest thinking early in the day, because mental alertness actually peaks about 10 a.m., which is great because this is what time we did our podcast. So mid-morning is the best time to deal with difficult subjects.
And it's all
Mike.
Downhill from there.
But you can be 30% more effective mid-morning if you have to do some mentally tough thinking. Isn't that interesting?
So that's why we do this early in the day.
Exactly. Remember when we did it late in the evening once? My voice was really low.
You're right. You were completely different then.
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Yeah, very.
Another thing that's good to do in the morning is to check blood pressure and cholesterol. If you're going to have it tested, it's most accurate in the morning. It tends to be higher later in the day. You know what else is good in the morning is pain tolerance. Isn't that interesting? Hmm. Not always when people first wake up, because until their body wakes up, sometimes their body has to redistribute what it's doing, but pain tolerance is highest. So here's an interesting thing. So some people will say if you have to go to the dentist, go in the morning because pain tolerance is high. But anesthetics, like they would use in your mouth at a dentist, last 3 times longer in the afternoon from about 1 to 3 p.m. Hmm. Isn't that interesting? One thing you don't want to do super early in the morning is really strenuous exercise. You know, the body needs to wake up. The muscles aren't as warm. So it's good to do moderate exercise and stretching, but if you're going to do really strenuous exercise, it's best to save it to early evening. Something else that happens in the morning is your short-term memory peaks. So if you're going to do, say, a presentation in the afternoon, review it in the morning, because short-term, you're going to remember things really well.
That's a really good tip.
Yeah.
Long-term memory, though, peaks in the late afternoon and early evening. So if there's something you want to work on that you really need to remember long-term, wait till later in the day. Now, here's an interesting thought. The Europeans have totally figured this out when it comes to rhythm. Their work cycles actually match their body rhythms really well. Europeans work about 8 a.m. to noon, then they take a 3-hour lunch with a quick nap, then they work again from 4 to 7 with a light meal after work. Isn't that interesting?
I don't like that.
That's pretty much what you do, though, at our office.
It was weird, though, when we were in England. It's true. Everything was shut down, like, early afternoon. It's like, where is everybody? You know, they're all on
taking siesta.
A break. Yeah.
I like to eat while I work.
That's because you're
an
American.
I don't need a lunch break.
Well, in the afternoon, people tend to do mindless tasks better, filing, things that are redundant, not so much hard thinking stuff in the afternoon. And then the evening, the muscles are warmed up and the heart stimulation is still high. So going to the gym after work, the body temperature is highest between 5 and 7 p.m., so that's a good time to exercise. However, ideally, you don't want to exercise within 3 hours of bedtime. Yeah. So, you know, this is a lot of rules. It's not so much that you have to live your life by this.
Suggestions.
But it's suggestions, things to think about. Maybe it'll make sense for you. But, you know, rhythm's value, it really comes when there's intention behind it. So asking yourself the questions, well, would this choice make my life easier and more balanced? You know, will this help me with what I need to do? And most importantly, will this contribute to the way I want to live? And in this way, rhythms will establish trust with your body. The more I researched this, the theme that really struck home for me was the value in pausing, just taking a pause in your life, time to process thoughts, process feelings, connect with others. You know, be the kind of person that your child, your spouse, your friend can just be with at times. Not doing, just being relaxed. You know, those moments of doing nothing together, those are critical.
It gets you back in sync, I think. Mm-hmm.
It really does. And, you know, having young children is an easy time to learn this lesson, because there's moments where if I can just stop what I'm doing, stop any distraction and just be with my child, that's when they say something that just touches my heart. That's when, you know, the amazing story comes out. That's when I actually get to hear about what they did at school and when I take the time to stop and be with them. And it's no different with spouses and with friendships. Sometimes we're just so busy, we forget to have those moments.
That's for sure.
So I want to reiterate that relationships happen in the pauses, and this accumulation of ordinary moments, in my opinion, is really what makes life worth living. So my challenge to you is to take a pause today, soon, and focus on yourself or focus on one person that you can just be with. And it doesn't even have to be anything too over the top. It's just a time to be with someone. I think I'm going to take my husband on a date Friday night. So, Jessica, if you were going to take a pause today, who would you focus on?
Myself.
Ooh, what are you going
to
do?
I would like to really focus on being consistent with evening meditation before bed.
Yeah, makes a big difference. Mm-hmm. And Mike, to end the podcast today, can you just start, what is that called? Can you start playing?
I'll play my cajon. That'll okay. be my pause.
Okay, that's your pause. Perfect. Yeah. Okay.
Can I join in?
Yeah. Be well, everybody.
You've been listening to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it. For more information, go to spinalcorrectivecenter.com or call Dr. Jennifer at 603-673-5600. That's spinalcorrectivecenter.com or call 603-673-5600.